Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience scripturally organic, culturally unmodified teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer from your host, Dr. Paula Price, author of The Prophet's Dictionary. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
And the surrender of your will.
And let me tell you something, it takes a moment before you can believe God enough that you will surrender your entire will to Him. Oh, come on. Some of y'all can say it takes a moment for the entire will. Okay? Your entire will has to come under God. That's the journey. That's the process. That's why it's got to be line upon line. You got to kind of let things go piece by piece. Some of us, we just trying to get rid of our language. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Filthy communication. Praise God. Trying to get rid of those appetites that we still crave in our flesh that all rival God. I know that they tell you, and I'm going to say something controversial, but I'll say it after I make this one statement. A, by the book. So that you can kickstart your journey to finding the organic Christ. Not just the Christ that you hope for, not just the Christ that you wish for, not just the Christ that you long for, not the Christ that you imagine would be the everything that you needed for every broken thing in your life, but the Christ that is. You want to start the journey to find the Christ that is? It's a book, $21.99, nothing, a steal for the revelation that's in here. www.drpaulaachrist.com. drpaulaachrist.com. Get the book. That's the first thing. Second thing, get your journal. Come on, that's your journal. Let me see. Come on in here. Because you got to write some things, don't we? You got your journals in here. We got our journals. Okay, that's the second thing. Get your journal. All right. The last thing that you need to do outside of your cup of coffee so you can have some stamina to get through this here Wednesday morning. Amen. So I want you to share, 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 share. All right? I want you to share. Is that all right?
All right.
Share with your friends, share with your neighbors, share with your enemies, share with anybody who you know needs to know Jesus as he is. Is that all right? Want to know Jesus as he is. Now, I know that we tell you as believers that it's okay for you to do 1,000 things. It's okay. You know, if you want to listen to secular music, it's okay. If you want to go visit a club, it's okay. If you want to smoke a little bit, it's okay. If you want to drink a little bit, it's okay. But the problem is that all of those things rival Jesus Christ. They keep you from having a holistic perspective of who he is because there's a very anointing on Satan's agents and his word and the carnal world and to keep you carnal.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
But the mandate on the carnal world is to keep you carnal and to keep you earthbound and to keep you focused here and to keep you under the God that will bow to the earth, that will release from that tree when God, come on here, put Adam in that garden. And so they're designed to do that. They're designed to keep your affections on your flesh, on your lust of the eye, okay, what did he say, and the pride of life. And did he say it? They're designed to do that. We think that the anointing is only for our Holy Ghost. No, the anointing is if you want to get a part, be a partaker of God's spirit, but every spirit can give you some ability to do what they've assigned you or desire for you to do. Why is it? Y'all don't believe that? Let's go to scripture. Why is it that man made the terror to terrorize the whole city for that long? Because he was empowered by darkness to do so. Because the moment Jesus Christ cast those devils out of him, he was back to be a human being. He sat down, put his clothes on, and was raised them up. So Jesus Christ is the only one that's got an anointing to empower his people. He just said, yours is going to be greater. Yours is going to be strong. He said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So make no mistake, there is a power in the world.
Amen.
And the problem is that we deceive ourselves into thinking we can control it. That you can dictate when the power of God is going to move in you and the power of darkness is going to move in you. That's why we don't walk away clean from those things. Because you somehow think you're still a master of your own destiny and you can control what spirit can control you. First of all, you can't even hardly identify it. You know how many times a week do you have to wake up and say, it's due with me. I don't know what's due with me. Why am I feeling this way? Why do I have this? I don't know. I mean, that's what we call the wrong side of the bed, all that unclean spirit that you can't name and identify. They have attached themselves to you through various things that you picked up along the way. That's why it's called the carnal spray. Did you not? And you can get spray hanging around stuff. You can get spray hanging around that. Oh, come on, in the place. We always talked about how Jesus hung around with tax collectors and sinners. But let me tell you what Jesus was able to do that we don't do. And that was used his own mantle, his own inner holiness, his own inner standard of righteousness to impact and change their life. But when we hang around tax collectors and sinners, we try to find ways to agree with them. We try to find ways to excuse ourselves. We try to find ways to explain the labor that we're doing. So as a result, us hanging around sinners makes us weak, where Jesus has made him a savior.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Seth? Share. Tonight you've got to talk about parallel kingdoms and everything. But before we get there, you've got to clean the tablets of your heart and your mind and the things that are set to rival the God in you. If they don't yet believe in your God, then the purpose that they're in your life is going to be to what? Rival the God in you. Which is why, from this time, we know that everything is designed to rival God in you. What do we say is a running joke in our country? You can't talk about two things. What? Religion and politics.
That's right.
Why? Because this thing wasn't designed to be friendly. Then we're going to talk about that tonight. That's why all of God start going head to head and we have to say, well, don't they? The God in them start coming after the God in you. Oh, what? Oh, you didn't think that they were going to be equally as committed to the deity in them? Oh, you didn't think that deity in them was going to be real? That the only God is real is the one that you believe in because that's what you believe? Come on in the place. Come on in the place. That is why John Christ had to write this book and start laying down tracks and foundations for us to make distinctions among the deities. She doesn't do all that stuff not because she's religious or legalistic, because she's on a mission to make sure you always know the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You always know why Jesus is different and why he's giving you a better option. But if you keep modeling your friend's weaknesses, people will never know why Jesus is a better option.
Yeah.
Wait, is it true?
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, I can't say that in my friend's family. When I say something about Jesus, look at isn't it true? We go to family dinners, ready to put Jesus on under a bushel because they're going to be offended. And so we would rather walk home under the anointing, have to battle the cause of their offense, than their offense, and us to dull the light of Jesus Christ. So you go home and you're wrestling with your God because you don't want to be offended to the sinner.
Oh,
is that all right to say? Come on, share. I know we don't walk all in there. Y'all pray for me. Pray right now. Because you already know I'm saying all manner of unpopular things. Because everything is about cowtown to their emotion and their issue and their problems with your God while you are the one that goes home at night struggling with unbelief. Because you're surrounding yourself with unbelievers. And unbelievers can't help you defend your God. They can't help you stand strong when things come against you, when the enemy comes again like a flood. And unbelievers are not going to stand up and raise up anything. So is it true? I remember Dr. Price saying that to someone. They were asking why they were all of a sudden they were battling with sickness and diseases, one trial and issue after another, and they couldn't get to pull themselves out of it. And she said, and that's because you're around too much unbelief.
Yeah, come on, dude.
They don't have the power to pull you up. How can the blind lead the blind? They don't have the power to correct your life. They don't have the power. And their unbelief is draining you. Because unbelief comes with its own set of spirit to reinforce your unbelief. And we don't think that unbelief has a tangible or physical outcome, but it does. It shows up in your flesh. Because you can't believe. What do they always tell people who are dying of cancer and things of that nature? That if they could just what? Stay positive? They could try. Come on, who said that first? Paul, think on these things. That's not original. But God says you have to be around the people who are going to fortify who you are. Now, we believe that about the road to success. You don't have any negative people around you if you're trying to build a business, if you're trying to go and be successful, if you're trying to win a championship. Only be around people who are positive. Only be around people who believe you. Don't say, come on here. If you don't believe that about building something in the flesh, how much more is your eternal life? Oh, come on. But Jesus Christ, that Paul said through Jesus Christ, Paul. Mm-hmm. Okay? That evil company crossed their hands. They're denying. Oh, come on in the place. And you're wondering why you can't be strong. strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because you can't cater to unbelief and hope and faith at the same time. You can't cater to both. You're either going to keep your hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory, at the forefront of your mind, or you're going to focus in on why Jesus can't work. The unbeliever is going to keep you focused on why your salvation doesn't work. Oh, come on, are we in the place? Why doesn't your salvation work? So your meditations are always on Christianity's dysfunction, and then you think you're going to get something operational out of it. Oh, come on over here. Jesus said about Jerusalem, they were so negative, I can't even do nobody's work. So I need to obviously teach you to break this yoke off your mind so that you can believe in who I am. You will get no mighty moves and mighty miracles and wonders and things in your life as long as you're yoked with unbelief. And as long as you are catering to the forces and powers and arguments and persuasions of unbelievers. We're wondering why we can't get moved out of the church, because we're trying to figure out ourselves what can we do. Well, people don't like Christians because people don't like. You have a church full of that, and how many miracles did you want to get off the ground? Jesus Christ himself couldn't get off the ground in Jerusalem, then you can't even. Oh, come on in the place. Y'all all right? Is that all right to say? Because that's where we are. You can't have the hope and doubt and unbelief and all of that around you, even in your song choices, even in the things that you're going to feast on. You can't take all of that fire into your bosom and think your clothes at some point is not going to be burnt and not going to be consumed. You're not going to be burnt by that. You won't be able to rise up in your Christian walk. You won't be able to rise up in the strength of everything. And come on, we talk about the great one in us, but yet we take in every other thing. So God's presence is going to be what? First of all, God wanted you to perform a miracle and wanted to do a mighty act through you. Would you have enough faith in who he is? Or would you be nursing all of the arguments and all the contention of everybody's issue with Jesus Christ? Oh. How would you activate that greater purpose on the inside of you? How would we even begin to do that?
Okay.
Because words are spirit and life. And a lot of the words that we're feasting on, conversations that we're having, I tell you what, the rudest person you'll ever meet when you try to come against something about Jesus Christ and probably ask you crazy, she'll shut down the conversation about that, but we want some place to leave it up. Why? Because I don't want to come under the anointing of your conversation. And that's something that God was talking to me about as a war plan this week. I was watching something, you know, we got the whole, you know, I'll take the meat and spit out the bones, but, you know, but there's something good about this. So I'm listening to a video about money. I'm watching something about money. And the principles that they were given were good. It was good quality principles about money. So I'm watching this thing, and I'm starting to hear some interesting conversation come forth about this person's belief system. Because you can't hide why. So I'm hearing some things that we call it on spirits and different things of this nature while we're talking about money. And they give it up principles of wealth, supposedly. And after I got to the tail end of this thing, I was there like, oh, you should check out this video, this and that, the other. And the Holy Spirit was like, well, how many of these videos you think you can watch before you come under their anointing? Because, see, the principles that they were teaching me about wealth was the entree so that I would become a disciple of what that woman believed in. Y'all with me? So the principles were the entree. See, the music is the entree. See, the television show is the entree so that you will become a disciple to what they are actually telling, to the God and the message of the deity. Oh, come on in here. And a lot of times you don't realize that we've gotten so used to Christianity just being whatever it is that we can't even tell when we are being converted or prophesied. Or, I won't say evangelized, but recruited. When we are being recruited. And God told me in the middle of that, he said, no, no, no. He said, you don't want to do this just because you don't want to wrestle with the anointing of the God that are empowering her to do this. Because, see, we learned from the onset, didn't we? That now, she was the entree. She was the appetizer. She was the teacher. She was the trailer. She was the, come on, the counter, the back, to bring you into another deity. And she's not the only one.
That's right.
Because the enemy always on assignment to convert. The enemy's always on assignment to convert. And it's your job to do your due diligence to stay faithful to your God. To stay faithful to your God. And a lot of times you don't recognize that these are just entrees. The conversation is just an entree. Oh, yeah, I love the Christians who say, oh, that movie didn't really bother me. That's because you didn't realize what was happening. Like, come on, man. You didn't know that you could come. It's not until the time I just walked away and you're like, oh, come on. You got so caught up in the entertaining conversation and how nice they look and how nice they were, how cool they were, how much you guys had in common and talked about this and talked about that, and they distracted you from the objective. And you have to ask yourself in this season, am I being distracted from the objective? In everything you do. Because with that video, I was watching Donna, but you recognize that with the little piece of information you're trying to get about, well, she's there to make another deposit, small deposit, that well, you won't notice out, you know, out the gate, just a small deposit of a new idea, that later on you're wondering why you're thinking differently about this. And why all of a sudden you're meditating on different thoughts about that. If someone can sing a song for 2 seconds, walk away out of your presence, and you start singing it, and it wasn't your idea, how much more can you be intimidated without your knowledge or even your active participation? Because a lot of times we agree to one thing, and we end up getting what? A whole different package. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I want you guys to think about that this week as your work plan. We've been trying to encourage each other on the Warrior Book Club. Yes, I got members in the house that are there. We're trying to encourage each other every Wednesday to stay focused because you need that. You need to be refortified every week with this message. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing from us here on Wednesday Warriors, Dr. Price on tomorrow, the Paul Price Show, the Fed Ed, prayer passes on Friday at midnight. Okay, even the kids can be fortified, bringing us right back to Sunday. But you also need to be fortified by those around you. You have got to build a hedge around your salvation, a hedge around your walk. You have to build that hedge. Your will is designed to be a hedge for you, which is why Jesus died to make sure you can have it back. Because the enemy took your will captive. You didn't have a choice about how sin was going to play out in your flesh. Oh, come on. It was a default set. It wasn't until Jesus Christ came that you had an option to decide if that's what you wanted to be, to come under Satan's possession and Satan's captivity and begin to walk out a life that you want. It's then just a compulsion or now your desire. Now that Jesus came, come on. It's not just a compulsion. It's your desire. When you get saved, sin is not just a default state. It now is your choice because you have been what? Brought into the other option. You've been brought in to the power of choice, and your will now has an objective. Is it going to defend the God in you? Is it going to defend your Savior? Or is it going to try to reinforce how you were born? Come on in here. That's what it's designed to do. And so I want you guys to focus on that this week because we are being informed to transform and we're on our way to becoming something so that we can produce something from this gospel. Amen? Come on, y'all, ready to get into chapter 7. Y'all ready? We've been talking about it, right? We have been talking about it. We've been on this journey together, talking about time, talking about space, talking about distance, talking about what, Mr. Lane? What did you say? Yeah. Simultaneity. Talking about simultaneity. Tonight, I want to get into that. Y'all have been doing well understanding archetypical versus prototypical, understanding what came first and why Christianity has to lead because it came first. And it's the leader in everything. Not just it's the leader in a doctrine or a denomination or a belief system. It's the leader in how everything in creation will work. It already predetermined it. It already set up and established it. before anything was made. That's why Jesus had to keep telling them, but I am before that. But I came before that. But I came before that. His messiahship was validated by the fact that he came before. Not that he came as a result of, hey, I see that earth was so terrible, so I just kind of brought myself onto the scene. That's how they thought the Messiah was going to come.
Right.
Which is why they kept trying to regulate everything through these various religions. They thought it was going to come through that. But they had no idea how the Creator was going to implant himself in the world. But how he was able to come is because he already pre-called creation to not only receive him, but to respond to his agenda. Christ couldn't have lost if somebody saved him to, because earth was already pre-coded and pre-designed to bring salvation into the world. At the time Adam was making the decision to fall, God had already encoded creation to be saved.
Right.
That's why he invited the devil out, and that's why he invited all of humanity out in Noah's flood. He said, whoa, 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 but I've already pre-coded salvation into the flesh. It's already in motion. It's already in room. So your decision had no effect on our agenda. Because before your decision was, our plan was encoded. When I said let there be, my plan of salvation came into existence.
Oh,
okay. Good. How can I prove it? Because what did he say in Genesis? Let there be what?
Light.
And Jesus said he came as the what?
Light.
Salvation was there at the beginning.
Come on.
The light was first.
Okay.
The light was first. But the light was first. Before the darkness. So darkness had no choice but to react to the light's agenda.
Okay.
Because the light was first. See, we keep thinking that we owe something to darkness and we have something to prove, but you have something to prove to us because we were here first. Well, you need to prove to us why you can't listen, why you're disobedient, why you're disruptive, and why you're trying to destroy the universe. That's what we need to understand from here. If we want to talk about who needs to do the talking, ask the atheist that. Okay? Well, you need to prove God doesn't exist. Well, you need to prove why this world is terrible, why this world is ugly, why we got pride, why we have disease, why we have problems, why y'all acting all out of sorts. You need to prove to me why that happened. Can you give me an explanation for that? And if you can give me an explanation for that, I can give you an explanation for righteousness.
Come on.
Come on, you play. Come on. Because we're always on the defense fighting somebody else's fight. Oh, come on. We're always fighting someone else's fight. So understand that Christianity is first because it was first, because Christ was first, and in the beginning was. It's not a spinoff or a variation or a perversion of any other religion.
Right.
It was a template for this. It was the foundation upon which they can subsist and exist in this world. If God had put Adam in flesh, then what would we be talking about right now? If we have to have a different conversation, what would we be talking about right now? Nothing. But it was his agenda from the beginning. His agenda from the beginning. God has been controlling the things since he said that. Since before that. Since let became necessary. Okay? Because he was talking about he's been controlling this since he put his own civilization. He said, let there be a heaven. And then let there be some angels to inhabit it. And then let my son come forth out of my brother. Okay, come on. He's been controlling this thing since then.
Right.
That's how far it goes back. That's why it's important that we understand that we are defending an archetypical thing. See, he's the reason why you can have an amoeba story. See, Christianity is the reason why you can tell a lie.
Well.
Okay? Because if we never said this, you would never even try to find out that. John Christ said, well, I'm saying, did you not two-thirds of their gospel, the world's gospel, and take off that's the gospel to you. The world's doctrine and nonsense are trying to be
relevant.
Okay? The world's doctrine and nonsense is trying to refute Christianity.
Right.
Y'all have two-thirds. Okay? He got books and novels and think tanks and talk shows and everything trying to refute the truth. They spent a lot of time and a lot of money trying to refute your gospel. Why? Because it came first and it's the only one that matters. Because everything else is a variation.
Okay.
And the enemy knows it. Oh, come on in here. And as somebody posted on Facebook, he knows that he's the only God that Satan's got a battle to. I appreciate that. He is the only God
well,
that faith is not a battle, because see, we're the one, he's the only one. Come on, when we're talking about differences, come on, share this tonight, because this is why we got to have these conversations, because we keep fighting their fight.
Right.
If you keep thinking that there is plausibility to their argument, you have already lost.
Right.
You've already lost ground.
Right.
The moment that you start thinking that when they bring up something about your Christ, and when they come to say something about your Savior, that there's some plausibility to that.
Oh, come on.
The moment that you entertain it is the moment you lost the
argument.
You have lost ground. And you not only lost ground in that conversation, but you lost ground in your own faith and in your own soul. Because the enemy now knows that you don't believe. That there is still room for doubt. You don't believe beyond a reasonable doubt. And he knows that. Oh, come on, in the place. But let's talk about the difference between what makes Christianity different than these other faiths and other religions. The first thing we talked about was the fact that there was a holy God. And then we talked about the man brings the Holy Spirit so we can do what with him? Not just only have life and live eternally, okay? If you turn out, he was another religion, you know, okay? We know the born again experience showed up in various places. We know the signs show up in various places and all of that. But to do what?
That's
not the devil. The devil didn't think that there would be anything more powerful in the earth than him.
Wow.
He had the keys to what? Death and hell. The grave was the transitionary point. That's the point transition between points. Okay? But he had the keys. He owned those keys. So why would he see coming a power into the universe stronger than that, than him, than what they were exercising and manipulating through the pantheon? And do not listen. So why would they think that there would be another power that would come in to be able to what? Which is why they did what by Jesus walking the way. What did they say? I know you, Son of God. You come again before our time. Why? Because in no other book, not no Quran, not no sacred text, not no Hammurabi's law, not nowhere do you see anything talking about the ability to wipe them out.
Come on.
And strip them of their authority. Everything was about the dead, the waking dead, the walking dead. Okay, come on. Everything was about the dead because they didn't see any other thing coming.
Right.
That would supersede that authority that was given to them. Outside of the Jews.
We think that round, whatever, but they can't get the law right.
So, okay? But it's true. And we can't even get this law right. So why on earth, come on, in the place, would they accept that? So you're not going to find that in somebody else's sacred text, but they're talking about the differences between your God and other gods, and why is it God like everybody else? Well, because our God gave us the power to take anything out that we want. To deal with darkness, to supersede those things. Does that make sense? Oh, praise the Lord in the place. So when we're talking about distinction, because everything comes down to distinction, and you need to know how to distinguish your God from the other. Oh, come on, the place. It was because Eve didn't know the difference between the serpent and the tree and the God that they were meeting in the cool of the day, that she was taken out. She didn't know the difference between the two passages, the two stories, and the two communions. Oh, did she know? She didn't know the difference. Obviously, he wasn't clearing either, because he was also there, listening, and waiting to partake. Because he would say, no, honey, this is a different time. This is a different thing. This is not what happened to the voice that walked with us in the cool of the day. But clearly, they saw no distinction. That's what Paul can say about the enemy, that he can come as an angel of light.
Right.
That he's very good at mimicking God's life without his substance, without his authority, without his power. And we're surprised when we hear people mimic the gospel of Jesus Christ, be all saved and not be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Get into back rooms and start finding out that they're worshiping some of everything that is. What's going on in the prayer closet? What's happening in the prayer room? While they're mimicking the sound of your God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it can't be just about the word. The kingdom can't be just in words. It has to be in power. You have to have a living organism and a demonstration in your own life that can distinguish your God. So you always know that the sound of his voice is different. And what comes with that sound? Because it's not just edification. See, because we keep trying to wipe out all the power in the church and scared of all of it, you don't recognize that God's voice doesn't come with just edification.
Oh.
It doesn't come to just comfort you. But it says the word of God is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. So he's not coming to just comfort. He's not coming to just soothe. Why? Because he has tools for that. He has tools for that.
There you go.
Well, is it true?
Yeah.
We have wickedness for that. We have pagans for that. But I came that you might have life, and I came to destroy the works of the devil. Oh, come on. We can never forget what distinguishes him and why he came. Oh, y'all all right?
Yeah.
I know.
Come on, we all right.
We gonna be all right?
Yeah.
We gonna be all right. That's important. Because we have to be able to give a defense for what we believe in. And what we're defending is not their own belief. What we're defending is Christ's truth and right to exist. We're not defending their issue.
Amen.
We're defending our truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Share, share, share. Heaven and earth. I want to double just to give everybody a chance to get on the line.
Oh,
okay. So y'all can get on the line. And have your book and your coffee and your journals out talking about chapter 7. We were talking about the archetypes and the prototypes, which was the foundation for understanding simultaneity. For understanding what Dr. Price is talking about with simultaneity. Because simultaneity is triggered by the interplay between heaven and earth. How the two intersect, how they integrate, and how they move together in the same time and space. How Jesus and the Holy Spirit brought us into the same time and space. Dr. Price often talks about in her book, Eternity General, how earth was re-annexed back to heaven. We didn't realize that in the garden, we got separated from heaven. Which is why that heaven had to come in through various portals, channels, and had to have the Spirit of God move in concentrated places in order for it to enact or impose itself in various situations on earth. We talked about that with the Red Sea. We talked about that when he was empowering Moses to take down Egypt. When God said the Spirit of the Lord came upon a particular individual, that was opening a portal. How do we know? Where do we see it happen? Okay, first we see it happen in Jacob's ladder. Okay, we recognize that an act of simultaneity where a portal is opening up so that heaven and earth can engage one another. But beyond that, when God wants to do something supernatural, he moves upon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon an individual.
Right.
Came in the power of Moses, came in the power of Elijah, came in the power of Samuel, did it not?
Yes.
So it came upon them. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, it created a portal connection. Between it allowed heaven to get into the planet on that or through that individual. How do we know that's true? Because the one that opened it up for the entire world was Jesus Christ, which happened upon his baptism. When he came up from being baptized by God, what he said was, he said, whom you see? The Spirit of the Lord is this.
Right on.
And not move. Because Jesus was designed to be the door. They were representatives. They were place holders.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, we need this moment to go boom, boom, in and out. He said, let me be in and out. Because a place had not been prepared yet for him to dwell here. He had to knock out the government of the old. He had to destroy some things for a place to be prepared for him to dwell here, for a comforter and a power of himself to come. Not to just bring you truth and words, but to open up a portal that should not be closed. He said, I open the door that no man can shut. Oh, come on in here. When he opens the door that no man can shut, nobody can. with all of those things. And it's so hard that when you're a prophet, you think it's going to happen immediately. Because there is no distance. It's happening now. Simultaneity. Now. You're in the instantaneous with God. Because there is no blockade. There is no sunny room. There is no 24-7 clock. There's none of that happening. So when you're in your prayer time, you prophesy and told me. They're going to prophesy everything they see in that moment. And I realize that through everything under the sun. Oh.
There was nothing. Come on.
So when I entrusted my word and put my word in the land under the sun, it locked it in time. That's why the times and seasons are in his hands. Because he locked time and season under the sun and every word and every event and every happening with it. That's why you can have Solomon say, well, wait a minute, I see that everything under the sun has been done because I'm looking off in the distance. And your mind, when you come out of the Spirit of God, that prophetic word is complete. And he tells you it's done. So you'll have the courage to walk it out.
Right.
If he doesn't show you that it's complete, you will not have the faith and the courage to walk that word out.
Right.
Oh, come on, share that tonight. Because there are a lot of people frustrated with God because they don't know the operations of his hand and how he functions and how he governs and rules. We want to know how he loves and how he feels. But let me tell you something. There is a wisdom and a logic and logistics and a technology to how God moves in earth.
Come on.
Because when you think about technology, we're dealing with what is happening, the logistics of the hand. The logistics of the hand. So when God wants to take a word and pull it out of himself and get it functioning in the earth, he gives the logistics that, oh, come on.
Yeah.
He gives the logistics to your DNA. He gives the logistics to events. He gives the logistics to the sun and moon and stars. He gives the logistics to the day, to the 24-hour clock. Come on here. Because in his world, it's already done. Because he's not dealing with our time. So what happens is when we come across due season, this is what we talked about. I promise y'all we're going to get with it. All right, then I'll have to, you know, keep on doing it. They have abandoned.
Good morning,
all right, she's looking at you. So, when we talk about due season, we're dealing with all the things that God predestined to happen. Okay, that he predestined to happen. Meaning their appointed time under the sun. So we have above the sun and under the sun. The archetype for everything that exists, we know is eternal. So it can't exist or come into existence or appear in this world without a spirit. a country, you understand they want to go do something. So what did they create?
Embassy.
And ambassadors. So they sent people out to be the portability of our government, to do all of that hand work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the hands off. So that our government, they still are the full essence of representation of who we are governmentally. But they are, come on, y'all getting with me?
Yeah.
But they are not the entire. Our foundation cannot move like that. It has to stay where it is in order for it to continue to act on everything that the ambassador said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it can execute and cause the American government to subsist, to stay alive. So it's the source. And God, the Father, is that foundation. He is that source. And then the Word comes forth to speak. So in, okay, when we're dealing with simultaneity, we're dealing with the fact, okay, I mean, Lord knows he, I hope y'all can see that, it's wet, I don't know why I'm showing up like that, y'all,
Let me try it again.
Okay, so simultaneity is what brings us into God's world, and how are we doing it? Through the door. So that's why we saw the Spirit of God descend on Jesus and not move. It's through him and through the dispensation of the Spirit from him called the Holy Ghost. That we got the right soul in skin. Alright? Through that, we're able to connect. That's why he said, through me, I'm now going to be the active door. I'm going to be the active bridge. I'm going to be the reconciler. I'm going to be the portal and the means by which you can be connected in this world. Christ in you is what allows you to sit in heavenly places while you're on earth. Simultaneity. You're here on earth, but yet you can operate in the heavens and operate heavenly things because of the door. Y'all all right?
Yeah. Jesus, that door. I like that. Come on,
we
can't shut that door.
He said, So what that lets you know is that God, he owns it, which Dr. Christ said, but he owns the gateway to heaven. He owns the gates to heaven. We think that Prince Peter's going to be the head. Come on now.
Come on.
That's right. He's not going to be doing that. Okay? He did the gate. He said all judgment and authority was submitted to the Son. Why? Because you own the gateway. When he said, I'll open that door, then no man can shut. And then what? I can shut the door. And listen to this, all of our liberal Christians, no man can open it. I want you to know that if Jesus shuts the door, then no man can open that door. So our doctors are not going to open the door to heaven. If Jesus, if his heart isn't open to you, it doesn't matter. If Christ's heart isn't open to you, your foot doctrine out there can't move him. See, we keep thinking it's an institution making a decision. It's an individual who's making the choice. This is why it was Jesus, because he was the door, This is why Jesus can say to the thief on his right, hey, into my feet. He asked him, can I come in? Yeah, he told him, I'm the door.
Yes.
He didn't need no sinner's prayer. He didn't need no altar call. He didn't need no confession.
Wow.
All he needed was access to the door.
Wow.
Because a man is making a decision, not your church on Sunday. Your denomination is not choosing where you go. You need to understand that. Religions of the world can't choose where you go, but there's all authority to come in for a man. That man, Christ Jesus. So when we're dealing with due season, we're dealing with the predestined things, what God predestined, okay, in eternity. Before time. Remember that. When you get to a point that God's waiting for something to show up in the earth, and it's reached its appointed time, he executes what was predestined to activate what was encoded. That's why timing is so important. How can we say this? Cadence Barnea is a classic example that Dr. Christ uses all the time. And if you've never studied the story in the scriptures, it's a good time this week to do a little Bible study. from up here. Come on.
Okay.
Okay. He said, life is here. You see, it is here. You should have been after this. So what they end up doing, most of the word, they what? Go back to how we started our conversation. Fall into unbelief. They had a meeting with unbelievers and decided we're not going to do much.
Most disrespected back that's your opinion that you hear from God. Okay, we know that if you don't prophet out there, God will y'all think at this moment. We know that you hear from God and you feel like you heard something, but it didn't bear witness with our spirit.
That's it.
It didn't bear witness with our spirit, so we're not going to do that.
Right.
Okay? And then what happened? The next day, when they get their courage back, and they find themselves,
well,
and they now have the option, okay? They're ready to move out.
It's their
option. Okay? They got the option. They're ready to move out. They're going to move out. And what happens? They get charged. Why? Because heaven was present the day before. The window of God. See, it creates heaven and earth coming together.
Things that never worked out. You've been attempting to do this a thousand times. not our fantasy. It is not our 50 moments. This stuff has been set in motion to work a very specific way. We can respect the laws of science, but we'll not respect the laws of faith. We'll not respect the laws of prophecy. Prophecy has its own laws of operation. Like everything that God made, God made nothing without a law. Because he can't govern lawlessness.
Oh, my.
John, sin is lawlessness. It's what he couldn't govern. He couldn't govern sin. So he had to use his rebellion to his advantage. God gives everything a law, because you can't govern lawless things. And that's the problem he's having with his church right now. His church has become lost. And won't be governed. Here's my anointing. Here's my gift. I don't care about no size. I don't care about no office. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I can hear God for myself. Lawless.
Well,
the angels didn't even respond that way to God. Lawless can't be governed. Can't be governed. And so I want you to remember that tonight. Go ahead and sow your seed. You can sow your seed to www.comeofchrist.com. You know why? Because you sow it for due season.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. For God's word to have his perfect work. It can have a fast work and meet your immediate need, or it can have a perfect work and sustain you all the way to destiny, all the way to your eternal inheritance. We have to decide. Quick, fast, in a hurry. Ain't always quick, fast, in a hurry. Oh, come on, in the place. Is that all right? All right. Go ahead and sow. Sow into your season. Ecclesiastes 3, to everything under the sun. A quality prophet will tell you the season of your word.
Amen.
So that you do not have a case of idea, or you do not bring something into earth prematurely. As the parable of the seed of the sower said, it didn't have any roots.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you want to bring your prophecy in without roots, and you don't want to enjoy the promise of God having to give your prophecy roots in the earth.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't have a root here. Because why? They don't know I called you to do that. So what I called you to do, what I called you to be blessed with, how I called you to be raised up, they don't know that about you yet. I've got to go ahead and prepare a place. I've got to give that word of fruit to. I've got to get that come on in the heart of somebody else to, so they can understand what you called to do. They can understand why I gave you this anointing. They can understand what I'm asking you to produce in your life. Oh, come on in the place. They can understand that. And your prophecy's got to get a root. And a lot of times, God will take you through. Oh, come on, when he puts you through?
Yes,
and he'll make you wait. You take God, but you don't know why he has to say it. Because he needs to give your word a root. Okay? Why does it job? Because I need to give the word. I can. You told me I'm going to be the king of everything. And I'm over here. In the corner. Sweeping some floor. Because you're the only one that knows outside of heaven. I've got to give that word a place in the earth. I've got to root your word, not only in someone else's heart, but I've got to root it in circumstances and situations that will align themselves with my word. Give your word a root. You've got to build a root system, which is why we don't just leave you with prophecy. We help you walk through the whole process, because it is, oh, come on, because it's not just instantaneous. It is in heaven, but not on earth. Because earth has to pray by earth's rule. And earth is under the law of sin and death. And it's a law. And it's not a law that God changes. He just supersedes in appointed time. That's why people still dying, even though Jesus came. Come on here. Gave us eternal life, and he goes past now. So you go ahead and sow your seed. Because you need to understand that. Some of y'all have been in here and wondering when God's going to move. He said, I'm trying to give your word a root. First of all, I'm trying to get to take work, take root in you. Take root in your own soul. Take root in your own faith. You believing in yourself. I'm trying to give the word a root in you. Because you don't really believe what I said. I've got to get this thing rooted and grounded in your flesh or in your psyche. Then I've got to get rooted and grounded in your flesh. Because you may be called to be a king, but you know nothing about kingship. Your members are not responsible for royalty. It doesn't know anything of that nature. So all those who may be walking around on lofty prophecy right now,
all right.
There's nothing in this world that is prepared for it, including you. doing anything he asked. How God did his work in you?
Come on, God, I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to live at the door of faith on knocking on heaven. I'm knocking on heaven.
Yes.
No, I am knocking on heaven. The door. Yes. Speaking about the heaven day. We're going to say 30, memos and instructions and things and none of that. In fact, the email is just back. Okay. Oh, the Lord God is all holy. Oh, that can't be God. He's going to help.
Your patterns of your life, God, and I'm asking you.
come on in the place. I bless y'all here, that the people that moved here to Tulsa, I'm telling you, this is going to be great things. For you, not if you're sowing into good ground, you're not going to even just sowing into good ground, but you're coming in the right people. Because you're coming in the right season. Not only that, but you're going to enter into seeds that were sown by others who couldn't wait.
I know that's God.
Yeah. And so those who couldn't wait, you're going to enter into their season.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to thank you all for joining us. I thank you guys for giving and supporting this. Not only just supporting it financially, but by your growth. You guys are writing me and telling me how much you grow and how much you have been really learning from this, and this has been changing your life. That is, come on, that's the reason why we do this. That's our meat and our bread. When Jesus said that he's eating bread with the dual will, it wasn't just so that he could express God, but the joy that was set before him, watching people become like his father. Oh, come on. That feeds you. And I'm so proud of your growth and your development. I'm proud of you, Cassandra. I am so proud of your growth, Tara, for you hanging on in this. For Nilda, who never misses an episode, my God, I'm so proud of your growth and how God is changing the way you're thinking. And that change of perspective is going to take off in unusual ways. Right now, you're thinking about it just ministerially, but God says in other ways. Him changing your thoughts is going to open up new opportunities. Well, first of all, you're going to see opportunities because you're thinking differently. And your different thoughts about yourself are going to create some new things for you. I'm so proud of First Lady Tarva. Come on here. That's my warrior. That's the act. That's my act. Okay, girl? She's got to be swift foot. Of Cabo Rainbow, you know we're always proud of you and your growth, and that you never miss. You keep pressing for this and keep doing it because God is breaking you through. For Ella, your health, we release health upon you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I take off every fear, doubt, unbelief, and terror that the enemy will try to sow into you right now. But God today has made you whole. We decree and declare that God today has made you whole, and you will live out the life day that he promised. He tells you that you will live out every last day. Your life will not be cut short from the earth. I decree it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For Jen Graham, I'm proud of you. Kathy, Adrian, I can't, you know, they write stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, Nicole Thompson, you know, Jay James is new. Thank you for joining us. Susie White, you know, I love you and the whole Bright family. James, all of y'all are having our final fire people, come on here. Veronica Montgomery, I think you are, might be a new person, I don't know, but I thank you for joining us, for being honest with you guys on Facebook here. Jacqueline Hersley, you already know. Come on here. You need to get ready to pack your bags. You playing with us. You playing with us. Ms. Anna Shire, welcome. Let's welcome Ms. Anna Shire. Wow. Yes, I'm so proud of you guys tonight, and I'm believing that word that God said about how to bring you guys in. To just say, cooperate with God. Don't get frustrated. Know how he works and works with him. Because God wants to move a lot of things in your life right now. And now you know why certain things may have been stagnant because you were giving him too many lists of things that you weren't willing to do for his work to manifest in your life. Prophet for the crowd. Boom, we're going to see you in June. Oh, okay. Come on. Okay. Come on, Nicole Brady. I'm going to ask Judy. I'm going to ask Nicole. I like Nicole. Okay, praise God. All right, we appreciate that. Tony Ingram, thank you. Apostle Jen as well. Sade, yes. Sade. Yes. Yes, another new Wednesday for Anika. Okay, our family. Bishop Peterson, yes. India, hey, in the house. Hey. Tito Bloom, 16, Women of Recovery. I love that. Thank you. You're welcome. And I'm so glad that you decided to be a part of not just Wednesday for it, but the whole ministry community, because you are changing and being blessed. I think that's what that says. Yes. Kara Bullock, Fire TV Quick. Yes, Marlene, great to see you on. Crowd One, Stephen Hope Jr., your growth is just amazing. I'm telling you, it is amazing and it's trial. Matt 5195 and In Front Together, Nemo 312, your best pumpkins, your best God to move some things in your life. Understand that he's pushing some things through for you. Do not grow weary in doing well. He said to keep this. You've been wondering what to do, how to handle this. He said, keep standing. Don't bow to the pressure and don't let the enemy push you into doing things that are out of your character and that will be premature for the situation that you're facing. He said,
Thank you.